cliffcentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are live from the studio this morning. Unexpectedly. We're not testing out a new system or anything. We're not doing this because this is a great idea for Friday. Woo! Although, I will say this. It was beautiful this morning. It was beautiful driving over, you know, sort of the Midrand Ridge and seeing Johannesburg spread out in front of you and all the buildings silhouetted against this pink and blue sky. I mean, it's really something to see, and I haven't seen that for a while. So, lovely, lovely stuff. Simpiwe is in the studio with me, Simpiwe and Tetwa. It is Friday morning, cliffcentral.com. It's the 18th of November. And that light that just went out just reminded me why I'm actually here. All right, so I have been sitting at home with... Oh, this must be 32 hours of no power. Yeah. There's no power. In fact, my UPS died. So that ran out of power yesterday afternoon sometime. It started going beep, beep, beep. Like, you know those heart rate machines? You know, like when someone's heart's going beep. Yeah. And then they like shock them. Try to wake them up and it doesn't work. So that was a disaster. And then I realized like this morning when I woke up at 4:45 to kind of figure out what we're going to do with the show this morning. I was like, now I got to go home and throw out all the stuff in my freezer because, well, you see, if you have no power for maybe a day, even 24 hours, usually the stuff, as long as you don't open the freezer, it's okay, right? Yes. It can stay.
Yes.
Now I know that after this much time, tickets. So like there's a whole lot of stuff and I'm not one of these people who is like particularly pissed off about wastage, although I don't like it. You know, I didn't, you know how you hear about your grandparents or your parents and they're like, oh, we don't waste anything in our day. If we had one block of cheese, we would cut it up into five pieces and everybody would get the tiny little piece of cheese and we never threw anything away. And if, you know, we'd scrape the rotten edge off something so that we could use the rest of it. But it really pisses me off that I now have to go and throw away a whole bunch of stuff. And the funny thing is, I actually did like some meat shopping last week. So, you know, how expensive that is, right?
That is the worst. That's when you're so just like
fucking annoying.
I wish it was winter now; it would have lasted at least a bit longer.
Anyway, I mean, listen, there are people in the world with real problems, but the reason that my power is off is not because of load shedding or like a substation that blew or anything like that. It's Izinyoka. Cable thieves.
Oh, okay. So you guys don't know when you guys are getting power then.
No, so they apparently fixed it, but then there was some message from the like local councillor on this WhatsApp group, which for my sins I'm on. And she said, look, she was trying to get hold of everybody, but the switching team, whatever that is, from the my mom's domestic worker when I was a kid, used to call them the maspals, the municipality, right? The maspals. So the switching team.
My grand uses as well.
She does, right? Exactly. So she used to say the maspals, they've switched off the what? So I was like, the maspals obviously have a switching team, which God alone knows what that is. But they didn't switch us back on. So
no, it's because they're not working.
So I woke up in the dark this morning. And the other thing that happens if you have more than 24 hours of like no power is that your geysers go cold.
Oh.
Right. So I did have a shower last night before I went to sleep.
But
and
it was a cold one.
It was cold. It wasn't warm. And then woke up this morning. I was like, I'm not getting back in there this morning. I was fine. I was like, wash my face, you know, my gezen pompin, and did all of that and then got on with my day. But
no.
Not fun. So I will be throwing away stuff that has been in my freezer. I will be bitching and moaning only for 5 seconds longer. But we've got to find a way of dealing with these cable thieves. I reckon, and I put this on the group. You see, I'm mostly quiet on our neighborhood group because I don't want to get involved in all this stuff. And there's some people who just
yes.
They moan.
The reason why I also left the neighborhood group.
It's
like nonsense is being sent. And you're just like, I know too much about number 24 and who's making a noise.
Right.
Can't deal with that.
Irritating people. And then, of course, all of them are taking out their frustration on the counselor. And this poor woman is, she's, listen, I have no sympathy for politicians. They asked for the job.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be shit for them. They must get on with it. I'll refer to yesterday's burning platform. If you want to be a politician, do not expect me to be nice to you. You chose a job where you are willingly subjecting yourself to our opinion of you every day, and you depend on our vote, and we can take out our frustrations on you. So I'm not feeling sorry for them, but this woman, who's our local councillor, has just suddenly thought, you know, all these people are just tucking into her the whole time. She's not the one who stole the cables.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to, and she's like sending messages at 11:30 at night, trying to do things. I thought, shame, she's doing her best. Anyway, I put this thing on the group this morning. I'm like, and I don't know if this is going to get me into trouble or not, but what the hell? I'm like, at this point, I reckon we should print a bunch of dead or alive posters offering a bounty for the cable thieves. You think that's a good I think that's a good idea. So
how much is the bounty though? You need to make it worth people's while.
I'm thinking, okay, so what do they get for the metal in the cables?
Okay. I don't know. You see, this is the issue. You and I don't do illegal things.
All right. So we've got to find out. So we've got to speak to someone who does illegal things. Ryan, can you tell us quickly what you get? All right. So if you get, let's say they make, for stealing 50-meter length of cable, let's say they make 8,000 rand.
Okay.
Because it's maybe about that. Maybe that's too much. Maybe it's too little. But if everyone in my neighborhood contributed 1,000,
okay,
they'd have way more than that.
So can we easily say maybe 50,000?
I reckon.
Okay.
And with 50,000, we could hire an assassin on the dark web. And that assassin
but
could
are you
find...
Sure you want to hire assassins in
yes,
South Africa?
Yes, because that's what... Listen, I always say we live in the Wild West, so we must live by the rules of the Wild West.
No, but you also... We don't have assassins in South Africa. We have Inkabi.
Mm.
Yes, you know.
So we need some of those guys. And I say we pay them. We get like two of them for 50 grand, because they'll do it for that. They've killed...
You know, you don't need to go far then, Gareth. Just go to any taxi rank and say to the taxi drivers, chief, I got 25K for you. Do the things. You're done.
Right. So you get two of them. They will hunt down these Izinyoga.
In fact, they know them. It's his cousin.
They know them. And then I want them to kill them and bring me proof. Like, you know when John the Baptist was killed and then they wanted his head on a plate?
Yes.
To prove that he'd been killed? I want these cable thieves' heads on plates. So I'm thinking,
okay,
like Bible times rules here. Eye for an eye, cable for a head. That's what I'm thinking.
The only issue is now the proof. How do you have...
Head in a bag.
No. The proof that they committed the crime.
Well, you find the cables on them. That's how.
Okay. Yeah, I've figured it out for you. You just need to go to MTN, number one.
Mm-hmm. MTN taxi rank in Joburg. Okay.
All right.
I know where it is.
Yeah, and then you speak to any of the marshals. They're the guys that will hook you up with Inkabi. And from there, they'll probably help you. And within a matter of 2 days, I think you would
I think they'll find them. I think they'll find them. And I'll tell you what, the word will spread that you don't steal cables in that area. Maybe we just put the heads on sticks right there next to where the cables were stolen. We're like,
might work.
Look at what happened to these guys. Don't let it happen to you. Signed anonymous. Because, of course, then the police will have to pretend to investigate. I mean, they're not going to do anything.
They're not going to do it. But it might work because someone years ago taught me this beautiful trick, right? But I think it only works because I'm female as well.
Mm.
Is that if you ever go to a dodgy place, and you don't want your car hijacked, park where all the taxi drivers are parked. No one messes with taxi drivers in this country.
No, they're the real underworld.
And you don't need to say anything. You just park your car, you greet Sanbonani, and then you know your car won't be scratched.
No, for
there
sure.
There won't be a bump. And if anything does happen, it would have been a taxi driver, and you can deal with them. But that's the best way. So I'm thinking if you involve the taxi guys in this scheme of yours, Gareth, I think
we could have something here. And you start an informal situation where the taxi drivers know, like, there are jobs up for grabs that might involve. So, I mean, Congo Chris says killing them is too kind. We should put them in the stocks with the soles of their feet exposed and then shambok their feet.
What does it mean?
You know, the fact that we laugh about this, right? like, this is how twisted South Africa is. And people go, oh, no, we're a constitutional democracy with the rule of law. Nah. It's fine. You could convince yourself that that's all true. Just remember, the Minister of Police is that guy with the hat.
Yeah.
Who says, shoot to kill. Just remember, these are the kind of people who are in charge. Not the not you and me, good citizens.
No, he's not in charge, because there's a video I recently saw circulating of, like, there's people having a party. They're living their best life, right? Mm. And there he is, you know, Minister of Safety, Megicele. He's there with all his goons. And then South Africans just start chatting. We want to party right in front of him. I'm like, only in South Africa.
This is not a serious person.
And I was like, only in South Africa. They're partying up a storm. And I'm like, yeah, ne?
No, for sure. Okay, so here's a bit of underworld stuff for Corona's Boring. I get 120 rand per kilogram for shiny bright copper. If I bring a company letterhead with, replacement cost is four times that. Okay, so first of all, Corona's Boring, you are then a criminal because you're buying this metal that these fuckers are stealing. So we're after you.
You're also part of the culprit.
Can we trace this IP address, please?
Yes. We'll know who Congo Chris is. Yeah. Corona
Silicide.
Boring.
Silicide, it says copper is 120 rand a kilogram. Now, you see, that's interesting. I didn't know that. But I can promise you, whatever those wires cost, the people in each neighborhood when the power goes out will be willing to pay like 1,000 rand. And if they're 50 people, that's 50,000 rand, as Simpiwe and I worked out with our brilliant math skills. So that's quite a lot of money to be thrown around.
Especially if it's a once-off, where you know after this it's done and you won't have to worry about this ever again. That's nothing.
Right.
Let's go.
There we go. So I like this. All right, it got me to the studio this morning, so it might not always be a bad thing. And we are, I said yesterday, because a lot of people were saying, oh, you've got to get to the studio. We've decided we're doing that from January. So we've just got to sort out all of our technical issues, which we will do, and then start with a fresh blast in Jan. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. We've also got the Poo Doctor on this morning. I know everybody's extremely excited about having Professor Mashiko Seshedi, who's going to be the poop doctor, joining us a little bit later on. We've got a whole list of questions for the poop doctor, which is going to be amazing. We've got George Meany joining us a bit later on. He's not a poop doctor. He's a car doctor. And he will be he'll be on. I see George is already commenting this morning. He's up early. So we were talking about the stuff I have to throw out of my freezer. But I was wondering, and this came up in a conversation. Where was I? I think it was on... I went to a lunch. Somebody said, like, your last meal if you were in jail conversation.
Okay.
You know that in prison in America when they put you on death row, then you get to choose your last meal. And people always go for these extravagant things because they think that that's what they'd want. But I suppose none of us hopefully will ever find out what it's really like.
But we've also not been in jail, so.
Well, speak for yourself.
No. Okay, I've not. Simpiwe Zamekele Mteta has not been in jail.
All right, so you haven't been in jail, but if you did end up on death row and you only had this one meal to have, because I had a funny thing happen to me the other day. I went away, and then while I was there, I looked at the lunch menu, and there was nothing there that I wanted. And it's just all this complicated stuff. Very nice food, you know, sort of pizzas and pastas and all kinds of stuff, steak, and there was lamb, and there was a nice restaurant, and all I wanted. And I said to the waitress, please get me, just chop up three tomatoes. Just bring me a bowl with three chopped up tomatoes in them. Nice tomatoes, but tomatoes. That's all I want. And she looked at me, she's like, is that all you want? I'm like, yeah. So she brought it for me. It was the best lunch ever. It's all I wanted. Salt, pepper, perfect. Like, you don't need much more. I know you're looking at me like Simpiwe is like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
That is my favorite thing to eat.
Okay, Gareth.
It's so boring.
It's underwhelming. Why?
It's what I wanted.
No.
So I reckon mine might be chopped up tomatoes.
No. Yeah, that's not me. But if... I think, like...
So disappointed. I've never seen such disappointment face to face.
Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Like, you're going out. This is like deuces. Yo, I'm out. Never see you guys again. Damn it.
That's all. What would you have? Last meal ever.
I don't know, because I do think I'd want to, like, if I've never had this in my life before, like, let's try something. Like, let's have, like, crab or lobster, you know?
What if,
like,
it's shit and it's your last meal?
It's fine. Then I have the like, it's such an experience. I think I'm so hardwired to experience new things. But if I had to even keep it simple, I think even, like, pap and meat, you know, with chakalaka. Mm. Keep it, you know?
Like, a close second. Or maybe even first, depending on my mood, might be like a really beautifully cooked steak.
You see now we're talking.
That's always.
And you can have that on its own.
No, sure.
Oof, you see?
But I don't want any complicated. I don't want lobster or sushi or.
No, sushi's not going to fill you up.
It's not going to fill you up, right? And even if you had trays and trays of it, you get sick of sushi after a couple of pieces. I'm sorry, you can't eat. Like,
and you can't have, like, everything, like, it's like, mm-mm, the wasabi is not that great sometimes. But I'm saying that I'm so open to trying something that even in my last meal, I'd be like, let's go try something new. But.
Yeah, Kampamba says, a succulent ribeye. Mm. Yes, now we're talking. I like that. Ryan says, horrible choice.
Don't judge me. Did you hear Gareth?
Yeah, well, Carl says, Gareth, you are a Philistine. You are the most uncivilized person when it comes to food. I admit that. Totally. Dr. Robin says macaroni and cheese.
That's hearty. That's I think you should go out with a hearty meal that reminds you of home, and you'll be like, this was good while it lasted, and then you're out.
Ruth says smoked salmon, carpaccio, asparagus, olives, cheese, tomato, basil, pesto. Yeah, see, now it's complicated.
Yes, girl. I'm with you. Let's have a feast.
Wagyu beef, says Psilocybe. Jean says paella every day. The best. Paella, really?
But that's a lot. Every day, no. Mm-mm. It's like great, like, sorry, once every 6 months.
Kim Jong-un even says, I'm the most uncultured person when it comes to food. Well, at least we're talking about it. Normally we don't talk about food that much on the show because everyone else is way more interested in it than me. So... at least Tertia agrees with me. Also, tomatoes, salt, and pepper. Yeah, that's just a great meal.
No.
Anyway.
No.
All right, so we got a few news headlines to get to just now. We'll talk about that in a second. But you had a question about, while we're talking about food, a meal that you hate now because you ate it so much in the past. So
yes.
I have an answer. When I read that earlier, I was like, I know exactly what to tell you.
Which is?
So when we were kids... Mm-hmm. Breakfast before school, whatever it was. So it was cereal,
yes,
or it was porridge, or it was oats. Any of those things. I cannot get a spoonful of that down my throat anymore.
You and I had the same childhood, Gareth. For me, Kellogg's in particular, or brands in particular, I have not had those in like 10
I don't even
years.
Keep them in my house.
Yes, we can't. I'm so traumatized from the fact that, like, in the morning they'd wake me up, you get ready, and then they're like,
bowl of all bran, milk, bit of sugar on top, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then and they're like, you have to finish this.
Yeah.
Because if you don't finish this, it's an issue.
You say they. You're like, they. It's like the police. Yeah, you've got to eat. It was felt like that.
Yeah, and it's just so traumatic because now I look at it, I'm like, never. Hey, let's move on. I'm trying to have like sunny side eggs now in the morning.
Well, I honestly haven't had, I have made a, you know, sometimes you think, I don't have the discipline to do something like this. I've never touched cereal since school. Not once. It's amazing how you can, something just turns you off. You never touch it again.
Especially when you're forced to eat it.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I have the choice now. And the choice is no.
Well, see here, this is lovely Lady Lee. She says Weet-Bix. That's another one. My grandfather used to eat that. Remember Weet-Bix? You'd put it in the bowl.
And then it soaks up all the milk.
Yeah.
And if you didn't add enough milk, then it's just dry and you really,
And I don't feel bad about saying how shit all that stuff is because they've never advertised with us anyway, so I could give a damn. I'll tell the truth about how I feel about that shit. Not interested. Tracy says rooibos tea. Now, that's interesting.
No.
She says, can't stand it and I love tea. It's all we got in boarding school. Big steel pot with tea. The smell consumed the entire building. Yeah, you see if...
Okay.
Also, if you associate food with bad experiences...
It's tickets.
So I'm thinking maybe there are people who were at boarding school, didn't like things. Like there was some My dad won't eat certain food because he was at boarding school, and they used to serve it all the time.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, I think there's probably some horrible stuff. What I did like, and when my mother was feeling really, really kind, is she would very seldom, but it was always fantastic, make French toast. Whew. Now, that I haven't had for a long time, but I don't hate that. That's still the
did
best
she
breakfast.
Add cinnamon when she was done?
Yeah, there was a bit of syrup and cinnamon. I mean, it's like the, you know, as a kid, you can eat whatever you want. It's not going to like slow you down. It gives you energy all day. And that stuff was just epic.
Yes. See?
All right. Well, there we go. I mean, Ricky says, my parents made too many macaroni and cheese when I was a child. The only time I'll eat it now is if you're... I can't read the rest of that. I think maybe Ricky passed out while typing that message.
Like, so traumatized.
Gisela says, mayonnaise. I may or may not have tried a hair mask recipe when I was very young. Oh, God. Oats with condensed milk, says Steve.
Wait, what?
Ish. Anything with condensed milk.
Wait, why are you guys eating oats with condensed milk?
Maybe. Hey, listen.
Like, isn't that super sweet? Like... Okay, you know, I'm not judging.
George wants to know, can he come into the studio this morning? Should I tell him to?
Yes.
Yes,
definitely. It's a party.
Come on down. All right, I have to hit the road at 8 o'clock, though. I've got to go to the airport. I'm flying to Deben.
Oh,
now,
nice.
what I'm worried about, so there's nothing to do in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, Umhlanga, Belito anymore. There's nothing to do there.
Because the beaches are closed.
Can't go to the beaches because you'll get E. coli and you'll fucking start shitting out your innards with all the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll basically be turned into a machine that turns air and water into shit. Mm-hmm. That's what you'll be turned you are. So you can't go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what people are doing there for fun because since the riots, who knows? I mean, I haven't been since September last year. That's a long, long time.
Yeah, I will say Durban is one of those places where I look at it and I'm like, ah, oh, shame, hey?
Yeah, I mean, what are people going to do for the holidays?
Yeah, but also what, like, they have the floods, then it's the looting, then now the beaches are closed. It's like, ah, oh, shame, guys. Like, what are you guys doing?
It's bad. And they rely on holiday money from people in the rest of the country. So look, I'm sure that there are places where it's okay to go to the beach, but not in the immediate surrounds of Umhlanga and Durban, and you know, it's not good. Apparently, I mean, I've heard some horrible stories about people who are, you know, they just brushed their teeth with the water from the tap, and suddenly,
yeah. Right. So it's not getting the best.
We'll ask the poop doctor about that later on.
It's not getting the best PR. So.
No, right now that's not good.
Maybe Durban is not where you're supposed to be this summer, you know. And maybe we must try other places now. Let's learn the rest of the country. Maybe Mpumalanga.
David says Joburg's going to be a lot busier than usual.
No, go. No, guys. No, guys. I will arrange your holidays for you. Let's go to Mpumalanga. Let's go to the Northwest. There's still Cape Town. There's still Limbs. Go try out Limbs, you know. But just go. Don't stay in Joburg.
No, because we want it to ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, this is what people are saying now. There's going to be a lot of people remaining in Durban. I mean, in Joburg. So get ready.
Kumbulekhaya, guys, go home. Go home. Just go home. This is a message endorsed by Simpiwe Mthethwa. Please go home. Enjoy your time with your family. Spend time. This is the festive season. Spend time with your family. Go home.
Here is a message from Unri about yesterday's burning platform that I thought you needed to hear. Oh, no, this is not working. Hang on. Let's see if I can play this properly. Ah. I'm not even going to try now. We've got a whole new setup here. It'll take me like 15 minutes to try and figure out how to do this. Anyway, she said she enjoyed the burning platform yesterday. And I got a lot of feedback. I got feedback from people who said that we were very rude to the guest from the Patriotic Alliance. We got feedback from people saying it was the best burning platform ever. I don't really have any particular feeling about it. It was irritating to me that here you had this politician who is exactly the kind of politician that we always talk about on the show. The one who's only in it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how he'd been MMC for health. But he'd done nothing except visit hospitals. and probably get in the way of doctors and nurses. Like, doctors and nurses need a politician. Imagine they're in the operating theater, some guy blood pissing out of his chest. So, he's just been stabbed. And they're like, you know what we need, guys? Is a politician in here. Said no one.
Who can ask you questions about how you do your job.
No one in the world's ever said, we need more politicians in this room to sort out this problem. In fact, there isn't a room I can think of that politicians would be helpful in.
Yeah.
So that's what he thought was his biggest achievement. I mean, he was only MMC for 3 months, so give him a break. But even so, I mean, the guy just came in with a bad attitude. He was like fighting with Pumi from the get-go. He was fighting with me, fighting with Canton. He just assumed that we were all against the Patriotic Alliance, which I haven't been. As I mentioned, I saw Gaten McKenzie this year, and I had a very good conversation with him. I've been trying to get him on the show. He's been avoiding coming on the show. So this is the guy we got. And maybe, I mean, he mentioned how well Gaten's running the Central Karoo District. But I don't know why he won't come on here and boast about that. Maybe he feels
he should be running the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, this guy's never going to come back. I doubt very much that the guy we had on, what was his name? Ashley Sauls. Yeah. Ashley Sauls the first, by the way.
Which I found so interesting. Mm. So, as someone who just listened, I enjoyed it in terms of you get to know which kind of devil you want to pick in, you know? it's like, you know how women say men are trash? Politicians are trash. You just got to pick the best one for you. So I was like, I love it when they come on and they themselves show us who they are. Because the first thing I noticed, I was like, why are you wearing a hoodie, sir?
Also, he refers to Gaten as His Excellency.
I was like,
it's like, really, you need to do that. You see, I reckon politicians should be called by their first name only or their surname. You should actually refer to them as, hey. Hey, Wena.
Gaten.
You.
Isalan. What was?
This toilet. This toilet's broken. Fix it. That's how we should treat them. Remember, these people are the only creatures in civilization who don't have to add value but get paid anyway. Let's just remember that over the last 2.5 years, as if you needed a reminder, the only guys who didn't take a salary cut, the only guys who didn't feel it, the only guys who didn't realize like there was any change in anything because their blue light brigades carried on, they carried on getting state housing, they carried on getting their salaries, full salaries.
With no load shedding.
No, they don't care about groceries, the price of petrol, any of that stuff because we pay for all of that for them. They don't have to worry about, as you say, electricity and water problems. So these guys get everything, but they don't necessarily have to be productive.
Yes.
Like we never get a scorecard of, you know, like how you have to do job appraisals. Anywhere you go, you get a job, a performance review. And they say, oh,
but I think even before, Gareth, you need to qualify for that job.
Yeah, right. Like if I wanted to run a health department, I would need a medical degree or an administration degree or something like that. These guys just have to win a popularity contest. That's all. So I don't have a whole lot of sympathy. Anyway, we'll see if we can get Gaten McKenzie on at some point and get him to just like try and improve the image of the Patriotic Alliance. Because it appeared to me and a lot of people, just judging by the comments, that the Patriotic Alliance is a bit of a joke. That's certainly how I felt after the discussion yesterday, which is maybe not fair. You can criticize us. Maybe we deserve it. Pumi and I don't feel bad at all. Canton feels like we were a bit like an ambush.
Which I disagree. But give the interview a listen on the Burning Platform. It's on YouTube. And
tell us what you think. Good idea.
Yes.
All right. Very good. All right. Boiled Prawn Shack says, Gareth, there are many drinking spots in Umhlanga Village. Do a pub crawl. See how many spots you last. Oh, don't tempt me. I mean, again, South Africans, when we can't find something to do, what do?
Drink.
Puza. But ningi puza. What is December going to look like?
Well, there's no lockdown, so people are going to be drinking up a storm. There's a chick on TikTok, her sound has gone viral, and she's like, when people see me drink Savannah, they're like, why are you drinking Savannah? And it's like, yeah, that's what people are going to be doing this festive. They're just going to be like, when you see me drinking, then ask me why I'm drinking.
I think I've seen her. Okay, well, Congo Chris says we weren't bullying that guy enough. politicians like that clown is the reason that this country doesn't function properly. Well, maybe. I don't know. Listen, there is still, just talking about Puza quickly, which is an activity, Vele, says lovely Lady Lee. There is a tequila shortage, which I spoke about the other day. It's a real thing.
Okay, but is that still ongoing?
Yes. It's a big problem.
How do you feel, Gareth? I know you did say you're going to create something. But
yeah, but that's next year. We only do that in March.
Okay, so
March,
currently, how are you feeling now? Because the shortage is happening now.
So you know how we felt when they shut the liquor stores at the beginning of lockdown, and we were like, "Oh Jesus!" And we had to like make a plan and speak to all the crooks that we knew to find like.
And now you're paying like R1,000 for a 500 rand bottle.
So I feel a bit like that. By the way, I'm not like hankering for the drink right now, but I always like to keep a stock of things.
Yes,
right. So I like. Yeah, light bulbs or sugar or like cans of Coca-Cola or whatever. Mm-hmm. I always keep a stock of those things because maybe there's some part of me that at some point must have been deprived because I always feel like must always have in case.
Okay.
You know? Semper Paratus, always prepared.
People call it, it's a trauma response.
Probably. But I also, there's a logical response to this because the logical part to me is that I don't want to go to the shops 10 times.
Okay. Which makes sense.
In a year to buy light bulbs if I can go once and then they're always there and I have enough for the whole year. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's, of course, it's more money, but then it's one thing you don't have to worry about again. It's on your list. It's done. It's ticked off. Mm-hmm. You're sorted. Mm-hmm. So I've run out of stock of tequila now. So even though I'm thinking, because I'm not planning any big like parties or anything.
Okay.
But you need to have this stuff. So yeah, I'm a little bit nervous at the moment. So I've got to find the supply.
Is the hand starting to itch and you're just like, oh, okay. I'm getting nervous. Might have to call somebody who's going to hook me up.
I mean, maybe Nico's right. Maybe I am the reason that there's a shortage. But that's why I want to make my own and sell it here. All right. Let's talk about some of the headlines because Elon Chief Twat says, and this is a great story. It's our first headline for the morning too. Charlize Theron has made Afrikaans people very, very angry. Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
Okay, I only heard about this morning.
So what does she do?
Okay, so Charlize Theron made some kind of flippant comment on a podcast. All right. You see, podcasts are now, because journalists are lazy, they just listen to podcasts like ours. They find something in the podcast and they make it looks like a news story. Mm-hmm. So what happened? So she was with Sean Hayes, Jason Bateman, and Will Arnett on a new episode of The Smart Less when she referred to Afrikaans as a dying language and not very helpful.
So an Afrikaans out and he's angry, eh?
South Africans are pissed off. She said, this is her exact line, there are about 44 people still speaking it. It's definitely a dying language. It's not a very helpful language.
Oh.
Ironically, it is the language that she and her mother speak to each other. So she's one of those 44 people, but she's also a left-wing lunatic who doesn't know whether her child is a son or a daughter. So I'm not really sure I can take this person seriously. And I wouldn't get upset about Charlize Theron. Charlize Theron is for decoration only. She's not a person who we need to be, I mean, of course, as South Africans, we're proud of all of our exports.
Yes.
Trevor Noah, Charlize Theron, Princess Charlene. There are lots of South Africans who've done okay. Mm-hmm. But don't expect them to be good at everything. And I wouldn't worry about Charlize when it comes to like social commentary, right?
Yes.
No one's sitting around going, I don't know what to do. This decision, it's such a difficult decision. What, you know, like wearing bracelets to say, what would Charlize do? No one says that. No one. She's an actress, which is not an important profession. Nobody in the world, if actors and actresses all died tomorrow, civilization would continue.
Yes.
We may be a bit poorer. There might not be new plays or movies, but we'd find new ones. There'd be new people to replace them. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a sustainable resource.
But I do understand where she's coming from in terms of the fact she doesn't live in South Africa. Mm. So maybe in America, there's literally 44 people.
Maybe.
You see? Yeah. So in her world, in her bubble, there's only 44 people that speak Afrikaans. But come back home and you'll realize that, no, that's not the case. You know, Frikkie and his boys are still out wearing the khaki shorts. And yeah, hulle praat Afrikaans.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew says Steve Hofmeyr's children alone turns the 44 into 4,000. Cabello says, wasn't she your crush, Gareth? Yeah, I've kind of been turned off her a little bit because she's gone so woke, and she's, I find that really unattractive. Like, a girl can be supremely attractive,
until they speak,
physically beautiful, and then they open their mouth and they start talking some left-wing fucking woke stuff, and then suddenly their attractiveness goes down to like 10%. It really, it's happened to me. So I acknowledge, I always thought she was hot, 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 and I always thought, wow, it would be amazing to, you know, imagine in my wildest fantasies, like, being with a girl like her. But honestly, she's kind of turned me off. And she says some really stupid things. Not that I expect her to say clever things. As I mentioned just a second ago, she's an actress. I wouldn't get upset. There are a lot of Afrikaans people who are very angry at the moment. Apparently, lots of local Afrikaans stars were quick to correct her. So here are a few of them. I wouldn't say the language is dying. I think it's a beautiful place in our country right now where there's so much inclusivity. Afrikaans varies and makes us different. It's almost like we have a rebirth, said Sait Ooster star Jawahir Peterson. I don't know who that is, but okay. Rulien Daniel, who's from the series Fraxi. Again, I don't know who this is, but okay. She said she doesn't like getting involved in debates about language, but pointed out, I love this when people say, I don't really like getting involved in a debate, but all you can do is just scratch everything they said before the but.
Mm-hmm. It's also when they say, I'm not to be rude or anything, but
scratch that, right? So she says, I believe a language evolves organically. If we're speaking it, it exists. Afrikaans star Lee Vivier, again, someone I don't know. In fact, everyone they've quoted in this article, none of these are people that I know or that I've ever heard of.
Yeah, so it shows you it's not dying, Gareth.
No, so there must be thousands of celebrities in inverted commas that I don't know who are still keeping Afrikaans alive. Power to you people, all right? I mean, there's a CakeNet series called Hotel.
There's a whole CakeNet channel. What do you mean?
I don't know who these people are. Now I feel like I'm being like Charlize because I don't know anything about these Afrikaans. Jesus, there are a lot of Afrikaans celebrities. I mean, are there any people to watch or listen to these Afrikaans celebrities if all of them are already celebrities?
I don't know. It's the 44 people that it's a community, Gareth. Can't you? Everybody knows everybody.
Right. Anyway, so between Charlize and all these nobodies who I'm meant to know, you guys figure it out, all right?
So I just hopped onto Twitter because, you know, Twitter would have had the sauce, the juice of some of the things people were saying about this. And I just saw this meme and I'm like, I'm dead. They're like, Charlize, is it Shari?
Yeah, yeah. When the Afrikaans, when the Afrikaans part of the national anthem comes on, Charlize Theron.
That's it.
People are funny.
Yeah, you know Twitter. But I'm not mad. We know it's not true. So
listen, the fact is, every one of our languages in this country, besides English, all of them, we've got to just be reasonable about the fact that these are not global languages, right? No mm-hmm. one in Finland is speaking Afrikaans or isiXhosa or anything else right now. Mm-hmm. Someone said to me the other day, and it's true, and I like language. I love language. I love all kinds of, even the ones I can't speak and I don't understand. When we started the show this morning, during the first half hour, I probably used 5 or 6, like, Kasi terms that,
yes.
that no one who's listening to us now, and they're people who are listening to this podcast in all corners of the world, they probably didn't understand what isiNyoka
is.
Nkabi. Nobody yes. understood what those things were, right? But they're part of my language and my lexicon. So you could say anything you want about it. You could tell me it's dying, but it's part of the way I speak.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I'm in an audio medium where there will be podcasts stored on the internet forever, where people can go back and go, oh, that's how they used to sound then.
Yes.
And that's what they sound like in that part of the world. So it doesn't, I'm not going to get upset and hurt about it like so many people are. Mm-hmm. I love Afrikaans especially. My great-grandfather was one of the people who formed it into a real language.
Oh, nice.
And it's the youngest language in the world.
Yes.
And Afrikaans has, there are some words that you can't find a replacement for. Words like kak. Words like Bliksem.
Your massa.
Yeah, exactly. What a great word. I mean, there's no way you could say that word in English or in they're not as powerful. There's something about that OE sound that's way better than
the
U.
Futsak.
Futsak. Exactly. So Guys, don't worry about Charlize.
Don't.
Please. She's obviously, you know, she's been out of it for a little while. She left Benoni years ago. So just let her be. Yeah, don't get upset with her. It's not worth taking an actor or actress so seriously. Just watch her movies, or if you really hate her, don't watch her movies anymore. So everybody, let's just calm down, right? I'm sure that there'll be more noise on Twitter today. There'll be a whole bunch of other unknown Afrikaans celebrities will be popping up telling us how cross they are.
If you're an Afrikaans influencer, this is your time to shine.
This is your time to shine. Exactly. Go on, show us how outraged you are, because we all know that that's all that matters on Twitter, is how outraged you are.
Yes.
Now it's your turn to be outraged. Mm. Mr. Beast has overtaken PewDiePie as the most subscribed YouTuber. Are you excited about this?
I am. I'm just seeing Mr. Beast's journey and how he's really changed the way we consume YouTube content. Mm. I'm so happy for the guy. I was watching a video recently where he opened up a burger joint. I think it was in the UK. Mm-hmm. And literally like 2 days before the official opening, there was like a long queue and they've actually shut down the entire mall. And the record, he wanted to beat the record of like the most sold burgers in one day. It was first 2,000 and he beat it, and I think they sold 6,000.
Okay.
So he's doing like incredible things, like most paid YouTuber.
Good. Good for him. Here's the actual tally on the screen now. Mr. Beast now at 112 million subscribers and PewDiePie at 111. So you think PewDiePie is like having a depression? Yes. Like he's gone into a downer now?
Damn it. Because I think he was holding that title for like 10 years. Mm. Almost 10 years. So he must be like, damn it, what can I do now? And it's tickets. There's nothing you can do. They've said that Mr. Beast will be one of the first billionaire YouTubers.
Well, another reason South Africans can be proud, Matthew Dixon says, Mr. Beast is dating a South African.
Yes.
Okay. You said staffer, but it's Safa, I think, is what you meant, Matthew. It's fine. You spell like Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Apparently it's Cape Tonian, according to Greg, his girlfriend. All right, good. Good, good, good.
Either way, she's still from South Africa.
Very nice. We'll take it.
Yes.
All right. Apparently, there's a drone that they've made in Stellenbosch. This is also in the news headlines this morning and worth having a look at. That can fly itself and see in the dark. It's a criminal's nightmare. Well, I got a place where you can go find some criminals. There's some cable thieves near me that I would love you to find. So apparently, the Stellenbosch-based startup that made this is making thermal imaging-equipped drones that can take off, follow a mission path, and land automatically. Apparently, it's bad news for criminals. Unmanned aerial vehicles, more commonly referred to as drones, are becoming an important tool in the fight against crime. Mm-hmm. In Dubai, there is a network of pre-positioned bases that allows police drones to respond to criminals within a minute. More than 1,000 police departments in the U.S. also make use of drones. They're being used to fight crime in South Africa. The country's rail, port, and pipeline company, Transnet, is apparently using drones to keep a bird's-eye view of its assets. Prasa is also experimenting with drones in a bid to combat rampant cable theft. So this
So we might not have to hire that in Gabi after all, but no. Let's see.
So these guys are called Conzer Aeronautics, C-O-N-Z-E-R Aeronautics. They've developed a range of vertical takeoff and landing fixed-wing drones that can fly up to 2 hours with a range of 15 kilometers from the base station and the potential to upgrade this to 30 kilometers. That's great.
I love that.
I love that it's a local company, right?
Yes.
We don't have to import this stuff. Good for these guys. I'm very, very excited about this. What other uses could we find for these drones that are able to see at night and land and fly and take off themselves, follow a path? I mean, there are lots of things that happen. I mean, we could, you know, hang around outside the Gupta family's meetings and that kind of shit.
And just see who enters the house.
Yeah, just watch what's going on there.
Who leaves the house, mm-hmm. You know, what kind of cars are being brought into the yard.
Conga Chris says, can we equip the drone with a shambok?
And it just goes, that's a good one.
That's beautiful. That's what we need it for. The cable thieves call them UFOs. Yeah, you see, people are already thinking, like, equip it with some tasers to incinerate the criminals. People are quick, hey? It doesn't take long. Well, come on. Someone, here, psilocide, this is your idea. So buy one of these drones, figure out how you can attach a taser to it, mm-hmm. or something that just shoots out like some kind of huge electric shock that basically renders that person immobile for, let's say, a few minutes until the cops can come and get them. That would I think that would be a very useful tool.
Yes.
Because we are at the point in South Africa with these criminals now where we need to have...
extreme measures.
Let's just say outside the law. We need to have some solutions because ordinary people are sick to death of, you know, sabotage at Eskom. By the way, I read a story yesterday about Eskom. They caught this guy who'd been deliberately sabotaging equipment at an Eskom power station. I can't remember which one. It was in the news yesterday. I'm not going to look up the article now. The basic story is they caught this guy and they said to him, "Why are you doing this?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Because every time this thing breaks down, my company that I work for gets more work." So there it is. Like straight up the guy, it was from Business Insider, I think. He admitted, there's the real game, is that these guys, so what we need to do then, again, drastic measures, right? Because otherwise no one's going to learn, is we got to find people who sabotage this and just like put them in jail for 50 years. Because I promise you it will stop. If you know the cost is, I'm going to go to jail for 50 years. South African jails are horrible, 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 horrible places.
One of the worst.
No one wants to go to South African jail. It's fucking awful. And everybody says, no, we must kill them. Listen, jail's worse than killing people in this country. Mm-hmm. There's no jail that you want to go to. So if we put one of these guys away, the word will spread very quickly. Everyone will stop sabotaging these places. Going to make an example. If you don't make people accountable, there's never going to be a change in behavior.
And so, I think that's what we lack.
Yeah, so get drones to shock them and view them from on high, and then send the cops, arrest them, show the drone footage that proves that they've done the bad thing, judge rules, they go to jail, sentences them to 50 years, it'll stop, trust me.
That's all. Once people see that this is, and I think that's what has gotten criminals so... like, I can do this. It's because there's no, like, accountability, you know? You don't get caught after you've done the crime. You don't get sent to jail. So once something happens to you, I promise you, once the fear of God is instilled in people, this country will be a lot safer.
People are also talking, great ideas coming from the very clever people who listen to us. Tracy says you can fit these drones with pepper spray and a camera to record the reaction. Matthew says, maybe dress one up as a togolosh. That's fantastic.
There
That's
was someone
good
who was
idea.
Like, I'll never forgive Africans for not using witchcraft during apartheid. Why did you guys not just send lightning down the white people?
Exactly.
That's a fair point.
Steve is going straight to grenades, which he wants to take. Grenades. I mean, yes. Defense drones that operate around mines are equipped with tear gas. That's quite smart. That's amazing. That's already happening. Phenomenal. Fit the drones with paintball bullets, with neon pink bullets like the stained money from CIT heists.
Oh, yeah,
that works. That really does work. Lesotho has the worst jails, a Netflix show has shown, according to Steve. Okay.
One of the worst jails.
I wouldn't want to go to any of ours or Lesotho's, frankly, so I'm with you. Ruth says, I don't think anyone should go to jail for a nonviolent crime, rather community service. Okay, Ruth, if you steal cables, it's a nonviolent crime, technically. But I want the maximum sentence.
No, I think we need to start off a bit hectic with everything, you know. And then after maybe 5 years, Nyana, we can then be like, let's renegotiate this deal. Because right now it's out of hand. Right? We just need to deal with everybody and just be like, hey, you're a criminal. You,
well,
chief.
Well, Conga Chris says, and then put them in stocks and shambok. He's on a mission. This is his thing. This is what he's into. Okay, so Lizelle's got a very non-violent solution here.
Okay.
We fit the drones with tiny glitter. That way we will see the criminals walk around shamefully covered in some criminal bling. Because you know you can't get that glitter off.
I don't think it's going to stop them, though. They're going to shine bright like a diamond.
I hugged a girl a couple of weeks ago, and afterwards I was wearing a black shirt like this. I was covered in these little sparkly glittery things for the whole week. I couldn't.
Oh, no, that's
the worst. It came off my clothes. It was on my skin. It was everywhere. Even though after like shower upon shower, they're still there. So
but
that's
what
a
I'm
good,
saying is that if
way.
You don't care, so yes, you'll see it, but if you don't care, you're going to carry on.
No, probably.
So it's no, like, no.
I'm still, like, Congo Chris is on a mission here with this shambok their feet thing. So, yes, sis.
Yeah.
People are full of it.
Yes. But, you know, the suggestions have been great, but no. No, no, no.
All right. One last headline quickly. Haribo, which is the sweet company.
Mm-hmm.
And they make all those sweets, especially the ones at the airport. Apparently, the reward for returning almost an 83 million rand lost check.
I hope they paid them with...
A man in Germany found a lost check for 4.6 million euros made out to Haribo and received what he thought of as a cheap thank you gift of candies.
What?
Yeah, so apparently this guy was on his way home from visiting his mom. He saw a piece of paper on the ground. He picked it up, saw it was a crossed check for 4,631,000 euros made out to the sweet company Haribo from a German supermarket chain. So this was a check that would have been paying bills. And even though they probably did an EFT afterwards, cancelled the check and everything, this good person takes the check in. Now, he expects a reward. Well, who wouldn't?
Yes, especially if I've seen how much money he just raked in.
So he says, this was a large sum that I couldn't even pronounce. He then contacted them, whose lawyer told him to destroy the check, which he did. He even sent photo proof as requested. Haribo then sent a thank you gift box to him, which included six packs of the company's products.
No money.
Mm-mm.
No chalete. Zaga.
He says, I thought it was a bit cheap.
What? I'm mad on his behalf. What?
I would have given the guy a cash reward. I would have said, you know, again, like we want to punish bad people, you must reward good people
yes.
for doing good things. He didn't try to go to the bank and cash the check for himself. Not that he could have, but he didn't try to do anything dodgy with it. Instead,
sweet.
Yeah, I mean.
They're not going to finish in like.
But six packets, not like, you know, you give the guy like 50 packets, sure, you know. Six packets is a bit cheap. I mean, I could go and buy six packets from the shop now.
And they'll be done in like, what, an hour or two?
If I hand them out in this office, they'll be finished in an hour.
I'm mad on his behalf. I would be like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, next time, I'll just keep the check. Thank you.
Yeah. This is not a reward. No. Sharon says, I wouldn't expect a reward. Well, you're better than us then, because we expect rewards.
I mean,
sorry.
I'd just like to say that considering the fact that he could have done something that, you know, just saying thank you in a nice way is always...
Yeah.
And I bet you he wasn't even thinking like, give me shares or, you know, give me $1,000. But you realize once you see the actual like reward prize that you're like, this is not it. Like I didn't have an expectation, but six packets.
Well, Matthew says, expect nothing. That way you're surprised that you received something. Still, you do the right thing. You want, like, you know, do something nice for me. All right. So apparently, here's the latest on my cable theft situation.
Okay.
Apparently, stage 4 load shedding was implemented at 5:26 this morning. Until further notice. Oh, my God. So... this is great because now, even though they've supposedly reconnected our power, there is no power and there won't be until further notice. So I may be away until Sunday and there still won't be power. I'm going to be throwing away everything in my fridge. Everything. Fridge and freezer. It's all going.
Yeah, the joys of living in South Africa, hey?
It's great.
It's amazing. I recommend it.
Ricky Lowe says, if you gave me six packets for doing this, Ricky says, I will shit on their stoop. Oh man, that's vicious. But but that also links us to what we'll be doing later, is talking to the poop doctor.
Yes. So, which I'm excited about.
Yes.
I have questions.
Prof Mashiko Seshedi, which should be really interesting, finding out all about like your gut health.
Yes.
Apparently you were involved on a T Health show where you're the expert on this.
I'm no expert.
Someone said you're an expert already.
I listen, you know. I listen to understand. But yeah, one thing I did take away from that particular episode is that, you know, when people say you have a gut feeling, It's actually a real thing. Like, your gut feels some type of way and you might have to get it sorted out. So that's where the gut feeling comes from, guys. So yeah, that's a real thing.
Cool. I like that. We must find out more about it. We've got a list, a long list of questions that have been sent in by lots of people who want to know about everything that you could wish to know about shit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. You think about all the things you do every day, right? This is one of the things that should be on that list of things you do every day.
Yes.
And how often, we'll find out how often you should be doing it as well. But don't pretend that this isn't an important part of your life. On this show, we talked about eating, talked about sleeping, we've talked about exercise.
Yes.
We've talked about work, we've talked about relaxation, we've talked about puza, and that's just this morning. So don't pretend this isn't an important part of it. And I know a lot of people, I can't believe that you guys are talking about something so lavatorial.
Yes, it's important. It's going to save lives, okay? Poop saves lives. So that's what we're doing. We're in the business of educating so that what? You stay alive.
Shit just got real.
So hey.
Here's a very important question which we'll add to our list. It's not on there already. From Elon says, Gareth, ask the poop doctor why dunked wings from KFC burn your anus somewhere.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. Foods to avoid, man. Hey?
Yeah. Suicide wants to know, when are we going to get a fart expert? Well, we've tried, but there aren't really people who've spent their whole life studying farts.
Mm.
And if there were, I'm just wondering what kind of people they'd be. Not great. Corona's boring, says, I swear to God, I laid the biggest turd the other day, but the Guinness Book of Records was unable to verify it. How do I get justice? Now it's gone down the trash.
No.
What? What is wrong with you? Seriously, this is disgusting. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the rest of the show in just a moment. Stick around. Send us your messages on the YouTubes. We want to hear from you. Also, if you have questions or you have suggestions or anything else, you can email us, contact@cliffcentral.com. We want to hear from you there too. Let us know what you're up to this beautiful Friday morning. It is November, almost December. Lots of people excited about that. Just around the corner.
Cliffcentral.com.